And man, I'm telling you, it's powerful. It is. I can't wait to get it out there. We've got lots of work to do. I'm looking forward to the future. So there's so much going on. All right. We are looking forward to all the work that God has for us to do and for you to be a part of. Don't forget to support the work and do what you can, because God's going to use this project and many, many more, many, many projects we have coming up. So you just remember all that, okay?
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. And then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by.
One more. Here it is. Let's see. How about this one?
I've never had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir. I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm heading for that sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. So shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
He's the King of all glory.
He's the King of all glory.
His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy.
Owns everything.
Amen. OPVC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. It is Friday, 2:13 p.m. Central Time, April 19th, 2024. Good dates there. So when we look back, when we look into the future, we can see, man, was Pastor Cooley off his rocker when he said all these weird things were going to happen? You're going to be like, whoa, they did. And I'm not talking about prophecies either. I'm just talking about looking at what's plainly going on in the world today. But anyway, we'll save that for another time. Now, tomorrow, let me update you on a few things. Tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central Time, I believe it is. No, 5 p.m. Central Time, preaching outside of a country concert, 5 p.m. Central Time, St. Paul, Minneapolis area, preaching outside of the XL Energy Center, I believe. A big country concert there. Tim McGraw, and we will be preaching live outside of there. Be ready on Rumble. Be ready on, well, not sermon audio, Rumble. Be ready on Rumble and YouTube, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we stream on YouTube, or maybe we don't waste our time because it stinks. But anyway, and Twitter. I think we can do Twitter, but nobody really watches on there that much. There's a few people. Most of the audience is on Rumble, where our last outing had about 1,600 views total. So lots of people on there to watch the street preaching there. So we'll be back street preaching tomorrow. Pray for us as we hand out gospel tracts and preach the word of God in the open air, as the Lord has commanded his churches to do. And you just pray for us as we are men going out and preaching. We are not women that go out and preach. There are no women that go out and preach with us. We are men that go out and preach the gospel. There are 15 of us if we're all there, generally. Maybe more sometimes. Sometimes there's 17 when our young men, 18 when our young men come with us, but our younger ones. But for the most part, there'll be 10 or 12 of us going out. And usually 4 or 5 of us are preaching, others are tracting, and the young men are learning and being prepared to preach the word of God as well. So you pray for us as we go out there and do that, and you watch live. Don't miss it. It is your Saturday night OPBC Live there, so don't miss it. You'll enjoy that on the street. You'll be able to watch for all kinds of things that are going on at the time. See apologetics live, see preaching of God's word live there, and it'll be a lot of nighttime preaching, brother. We're going into the busy time of the year. Everybody works around here. Nobody has time to preach during the day. They're all busy working, so the preaching has to be at night. That's just how it works for us. We don't have too many activities that are early in the morning. Most of our activities are going to be night activities. The sitters are out at night, and that's where they are. So remember, in 3 weeks or so, 28 days or how many ever it is, we will be leaving. 27 days, I think it is. We'll be in 27 days. We'll be leaving. Somewhere around there for Canada. So you pray for us. We'll be preaching 3 times. I'll be preaching 4 times in Canada, 2 out on the street and 4 times in the pulpit at Grace Missionary Baptist Church with Pastor Jeffrey there. And you pray for us, and you all be there live when that's going on. You'll enjoy it. They are an hour ahead of us, so they're on Michigan time. They're an hour ahead of us here in Minnesota. But anyway, you be ready for that. It'll be Sunday afternoon that I'll be preaching there. It'll be a 2 o'clock preaching service, and there'll be like a 4 o'clock, then there'll be like a 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. I don't know. Somewhere around there. I'll be preaching 3 times then. Tuesday, I'll be preaching again Tuesday night. We'll have a Tuesday night service. But we'll be street preaching. We'll be recording that live, or we'll be broadcasting that live on the streets too as well. So you pray for us about all that. Now, we are trying to get the Coliseum project wrapped up. We are working on that. And this is just a little teaser here. And I'm going to show you this here. This is just a little teaser here. for you to give you an idea of the direction we're going, but it doesn't tell the whole story. It's only a little bit to whet your appetite here, okay? But you watch, and I think you'll be blessed. God's people are completely distracted. But God Almighty chose to allow it to stand as a reminder. This Colosseum tells a story. A story of a fallen empire. Of the high price of a people given over to entertainment. People have time to watch elephants get drunk. Bread and circuses. Distractions from reality. How many people today waste copious amounts of time? But the more important story it tells is of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Those who lost their lives. Those that were fed to animals. Mercilessly fed to animals or slain by gladiators without a fight. If these stones could cry out, they would tell the story of Christians died as enemies of the state. Once you are driven by entertainment and not by real purpose and truth by God Almighty, you'll be given over to that entertainment and it will never be good enough. Jesus foretold of the destruction of the temple, which would thrust the Jews from Jerusalem in 70 AD. People are slipping off into hell. While people are playing games, while God's people are playing games. How close are we to repeating the same things that happened in the Colosseum? How close is America today to that very Roman Empire that ruled the world? Who are we in the story of the Colosseum? Would you be the screaming fans in the Colosseum that would scream for the death innocent life? Amen. All right, so that's just a little taste of it, and believe me, it is power-packed for over 2 hours of back and forth. Amazing stuff. It is. I'm going to show it one more time for you because it's a shorter clip. I'm going to show it one more time just so you get the mindset. But it is power-packed. I'm not kidding you. It is nonstop power-packed. It builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And it is, it brings people to a decision. One more time here. God's people are completely distracted. But God Almighty chose to allow it to stand as a reminder. This Colosseum tells a story. A story of a fallen empire. Of the high price of a people given over to entertainment. People have time to watch elephants get drunk. Bread and circuses. Distractions from reality. How many people today waste copious amounts of time? But the more important story it tells is of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Those who lost their lives. Those that were fed to animals. Mercilessly fed to animals or slain by gladiators without a fight. If these stones could cry out, they would tell the story of Christians died as enemies of the state. Once you are driven by entertainment and not by real purpose and truth by God Almighty, You'll be given over to that entertainment, and it will never be good enough. Jesus foretold of the destruction of the temple, which would thrust the Jews from Jerusalem in 70 AD. People are slipping off into hell while people are playing games, while God's people are playing games. How close are we to repeating the same things that happened in the Colosseum? How close is America today to that very Roman Empire that ruled the world? Who are we in the story of the Colosseum? Would you be the screaming fans in the Colosseum that would scream for the death of innocent life? Wow. I'm telling you, it is gripping to me. Very gripping, very convicting. It is going to challenge you for sure, and it'll get the information out there. Obviously, the gospel will be in there, and it is really the beginning of the work that we want to do with the documentary side of OPBC Online, okay? It's the beginning of it. You know, we're going to tackle the religious liberty issues over in Canada with Pastor Jeffrey and his church and everything going on in the world. What makes America different today? We're going to tackle that. Then I'm going to go back and tackle the issue of the Vatican. Okay, we're going to deal with the Vatican because that's really going to continue the story of the church state situation, with which the Colosseum really just begins to start that. And then we're going to go and we're going to deal with the Valleys of Piedmont as well. But yesterday I had another idea, but I can't share it yet. I'm not ready for that yet, but I will say this. I really need you to pray for me over the next 4 or 5 months about next year. Okay? I really want you to pray for me about next year. And possibly returning to Europe. So I want you to pray for me about that over the course of the year. That wouldn't be until obviously 2025, but I need you to pray for me because there's more work to be done. There's more for me to do and for Old Paths Baptist Church to do. But I need vision and direction and wisdom from God. So I could use your prayers. I've got a burning desire also to see churches planted over and throughout the United Kingdom, to stir those embers again over there. So anyway, you pray for me about that. That's in the future right now. I'll be praying. And you be praying. You ask the Lord to give guidance and wisdom for those things. I'm excited about that. But first things first, as we continue to move forward to Canada and the work that we have to do in Canada, which is important work that we have to do. So you pray for us as we look to get there. Okay. And get moving on in the work that God has called us to do. So anyway, you pray about that. We'll be pressing on and pressing forward with that. And, you know, looking to do a mighty work for the Lord. Amen. There in Canada. And the story of religious liberty, the truth of that. Okay. And what makes it different in Canada than it does in the U.S. right now? Why is it different than in Europe and Scotland and in these other places? So, you keep praying for all those things. And also, if you want to give to our ministry, don't forget... from now until we go home, amen. We are the one thing about I'll remind you of something, you 80 people that are on here, and it's not I'm not here beg. I don't beg for money. Well, I do. I beg God for money. I don't beg man for money. I never have begged a man for money, and for the Lord's work, I've always begged God for it. And if you beg God for it, God will lead men to give it to you. It's just how it works. It does work that way. So I'm not like suffering any dire needs right now or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But I do want you to understand the difference that we are with most of the ministries out there. Number one, we are not a 501c3. We do not have a tax exempt status. Everything we buy, we pay taxes on. We are not 501c3. We are not a nonprofit organization. Okay, we don't have a tax identification number. As a pastor, I don't work on a salary. I don't have a guaranteed amount of money that's given to me every month. I didn't make a deal with the church for this much money for a paycheck. Why? Well, the church is not a business. So we have a box in the back, right? We have a box in the back, and people could slip cash or checks or whatever they want back there. And you, when you give, right, online through, and people have been, by the way, have given through Cash App. Have given through Apple Pay, have given through Venmo, actually, which I'm surprised. Those have, I haven't, you know, I was kind of shocked. I mean, it's not a ton of money or anything like that, but it doesn't need to be, all right? It's a blessing, whatever the Lord provides. But my point is that we don't, so I don't operate like they do. Like, they operate on this budget of, like, corporate America budget. And I don't do that. So the reason I'm telling you that is not because I'm asking you to feel sorry for it, because you don't need to. but because I don't have any reason for you to feel sorry for me. God takes care of me. But the point is that, you know, when you give to this, I mean, you're given as raw and uncut as you can possibly be. When it comes to bare bones, just like the Apostle Paul, when people just gave money to them, to the men for the work. That's just how it was. So anyway, that's how it is here, and that's how the Lord has always done it. So if you want to give towards those things, you can. Venmo is PastorCooley at iCloud.com. And then Apple Pay, I guess it's just... Maybe it's the last four digits of my phone number. I don't know. Somebody said that, 2935. But it is PastorCooley@iCloud.com. That probably is the same thing as Venmo from that standpoint. But also, there is PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's PayPal. And then also, I've had people do that. I've had people mail me envelopes of money in unmarked envelopes that you couldn't tell it was money or whatever. I've had them mail me that. I've had that happen. Oh, yeah. I've had people slip money through the slot. I've had them do all kinds of things, man. Amen. So anyway, but my point is that if you give it, that's what you're given to, okay? We don't have any bureaucracy. Right? We don't have any bureaucracy you're given to, okay? We don't have a lot of overhead. So from that standpoint, just the bills that we have to keep things afloat. All right. But anyway, so last year you guys bought us, or this year, whatever, you know, you just watched that video of the Coliseum, that, well, the intro, or not the, that's not even the intro, man. The intro is powerful, but that's a teaser, right? You just watched that. Okay. You watched that, and that those videos are possible because of the computer you all bought us. All kinds of people chipped in to buy us that computer so Andrew doesn't have to sit for like 40 hours on just processing stuff, or go to bed and let it all process. It processes fast. Thank God. So when you buy something for us, we use it, man. We use it. It's like the last camera we had. We had one camera for 7 years, and you guys bought us one for there and chipped in, and everybody chipped in to buy us a new one for the meeting house, because that camera, I mean, so we use it. I'm just letting you know, as stuff gets used and, you know, and goes for the needs of all that. I just amazed. I mean, here I am. I have 8 children, right? And watching God's provision and care for my family and for the work that we do. And, you know, it's just a blessing. It really is. Amen. So I thank God for it. And I just want to keep my nose to the grindstone as much as I can, and I don't worry about money because God takes care of me. But I like to just keep my nose to the work that God has given me to do. I don't spend a lot of time making money doing other things. I really don't, because I don't want to. I don't want to get distracted. There's too short a time, friend. We don't have enough time. So I make my time count. Amen. Anyway, so you pray about all those things, all right? I got to inform you. I feel like sometimes, man, okay, it's like a half an hour. People are probably like, I'm sick of hearing this stuff. But I hope not. I want to always jog your memory so I don't get out there in Canada and you're like, why didn't you tell me you were coming to Canada? Well, I've been telling you like every broadcast. You know, so you remember. So you don't forget. You don't say, man, I wish he would have told me he was coming through New York. Well, I'm coming through New York. All right? I'm going to be in New England. Worcester. All right? So I'm going to be around there. If you're around there, you got to get a hold of me. All right? So, if you want to anyway, you don't have to. Of course. You know, we talked about this years ago. The feminization of manhood. I think I originally did this in 2018. And I've used the slides a few times. I'm not cookie cutter, okay? So it's not going to be, this is not going to be like the same thing you heard before, right? Nothing's the same, right, with me. I can preach the same sermon to you a second time, right? So, won't be the same, will it? Everything's different. So, anyway. But remember, we talked about this is our second in the series this week. I could have brought you stuff about that's going on, and I just don't want to. I just really, really didn't want to. I mean, I'm going to touch a little bit on the Mark Driscoll thing just because him, that little effeminate squirrel, and the other little effeminates that aren't real men, all those people that destroy biblical manhood because they're a bunch of perverts, a bunch of charismatic perverts, right? So anyway, we'll talk about them. They'll kind of come in, but I didn't want to do something. I covered so much charismatic stuff for years. I mean, I don't know if anybody has covered the charismatics, and I'm not bragging when I say this, but broadcast-wise, I don't know if anybody's covered the charismatics as in-depth, biblical, and than I have with that. I mean, I have just nailed them to the wall for everything. You know, and I just don't feel led to continue to do that. I will. I'll talk about it a little bit, but it's just not right now anyway. I'm really concerned for the foundations. I'm really concerned with keeping things simple. It bothers me. You know, it bothers me. Satan's attack on manhood. Right? Satan's attack on manhood bothers me. There's an absolute all-out assault on manhood. And Satan will never stop attacking biblical manhood. And now what we have is we have biblical... We don't even know what a biblical man is today. You know, you literally have women doing what men are supposed to be doing. And you have men doing what women are supposed to be doing. Here's a clue, lady. Your husband is not going to do what you do. Don't expect your husband to come home from work and to do what you were to do. Don't expect that. Because your husband wasn't designed to do that. You know, there are times when I'm like working in my chair at my house, I just got to get up and leave. It's not because my home is horrible. It's not because it's because I'm a guy and I'm a man and I got to get away and I got to get away from that sort of thing. And I don't stick around there because men aren't designed to do what women do in the home. They're not designed. If you're going to be awful disappointed. If you think your husband is supposed to do what you do in your home, that's not what God made him to do. And a lot of marriages become very exasperated when the roles are not where they need to be. Because the foundations are completely attacked. So then a woman doesn't even know, really, what her husband is supposed to do. She literally has. She literally has. unrealistic expectations. She has unrealistic you know what hurts more marriages? And by the way, I'm pretty sure I preached on this. Let me see if I can find it here. Hey, I did about church planting. Boy, that's back in the day. Don't worry. We're going to revive those sermons, but not for now. Oh, here we go. Here it is. I knew I did. In my marriage, whoa, I got 14 sermons straight on marriage. Oh, yeah. I guess I do kind of. Actually, there's probably more than that. However, whoa, that goes back to the day 2011. Are you kidding me? Was that really 13 years ago? Wow. It's a cough drop. Sorry. I'm sorry it's loud. I got to keep my throat lubricated, so I'm drinking stuff. And sorry. I'll make sure I don't do it. I'll take it out. Okay, it's gone. There you go. It's my throat gets dry. I don't have any more of my throat spray. It's gone. So I'm drinking all these liquids, but my throat is still dry. Ah, it's horrible. So, no, I'm not eating anything. I don't eat till about 4 o'clock. 4:30, actually. 4:30 to 5. I only eat once a day. So, yeah, because my throat is dry. But I'll have to remember that it's annoying and I'll stop doing it. Now that you told me, I'll quit doing it. Okay. There we go. I'm not eating anything. Celtic salt helps. All right. Put some salt in your water. Okay, I'll do that. No, I'm not eating anything. All right, anyway. I just need my throat spray, and I'll get some more, and I'll be fine. Yeah, I probably do. Well, when you talk as much as I do, right? Okay, anyway. So back to this. Lessons from the life of a harlot. Right and wrong expectations of marriage. This entire series, this one right here, right and wrong expectations of marriage. That one I covered and I talked about that. You know, I dealt with that one. And it's an important one. You should go back and listen to it. Many marriages, and by the way, I've warned people of these things, talked about it. I know a few couples that were here during these messages. Didn't listen. One of them, the guy's in jail right now, waiting in prison. One was a really big jerk. Well, both of them are actually. Both of them are jerks. Anyway, but I wish they would have listened. They had some unrealistic expectations for each other. Or they had wrong expectations for each other. That'll lead to a destruction. Right? Oh, man, that's not the one with clove in it, is it?
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, now watch me wince. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah. This stuff. Hey, do you want to buy me something? Look at this. You're like, no, I don't want to buy you anything. Hey, if you want to buy me something, right here. Herbdoc.com. Right there. Buy me this throat and tonsil spray. It's great. Buy me some of it. All right, anyway. It's good stuff. All right, so I hope you tune in to some of those sermons there. There you go. And also, not just for me, but for the street preachers. Brother Scott just bought me some, but you can always use more. It's good stuff. Remember, man, we're out there preaching in the open air and 3 times a week in here for 2 hours and 3 sermons a week. I guess I keep busy. All right. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we talked about Monday, we talked about the foundations, didn't we? We talked about the foundation of marriage. And in that, you can really talk about the foundation of manhood. The foundation of manhood. Again, an all-out attack on manhood. The feminization of man is what Satan... Why? Okay, here's the question. Why? Why the feminization of manhood? Why? Because feminizing man, is rebellion to God. That's why. That's why Satan wants to do it. If he can destroy biblical manhood, if he can pervert it, feminize it, destroy it, then he renders the marriage and the offspring ineffective against his kingdom. Because remember, the foundations are under attack. Why are they under attack? Because we have an enemy. Ephesians chapter 6. We have an enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the battle. That's the war. And we're in an all-out war, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You ought to stand, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. We are in a war. There is a war, and there is a battle against manhood. And it is evident today. It is so very evident today. The Bible gives us 7 times male and female. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. Created he them. Created he him. Male and female created he them. That number 7, like we talked about before, the number 7 stands for completeness, that spiritual perfection. The 7th time male and female is used, it deals with creation. God made them perfect and complete. Male and female being distinct is God's perfect way. The distinctions of male and female, they must be there. It is a sin for you to raise your boys and girls the same way. It is a sin for you to raise your sons like daughters or your daughters like sons. My daughters are not like my sons. They are not like them at all. I don't have the same expectations of both of them. Do you understand that? Can you fathom that in this unisex Baphomet culture? Can you understand that that when I raise my daughters and my sons, they are not raised the same way? That there are different expectations for my daughters than there are for my sons. You should not be raising your daughters like your sons. For instance, my daughters are not going to go outside of the home, outside of their father's care, to go make money somewhere. They're not going to do that. Why? Because God didn't make him to do that. I've heard fathers say, well, they turn 18 years old and they got to start paying their own way. Really? What does that mean? Pay their own way? Really? Why? You ain't man enough to pay their way? You're not man enough to pay their way? You need them to be man enough to pay their way? Really? I think you've been a little bit too educated too much by the world. Because you're not getting that from the Bible. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. It's God's way. You can't change that. You can't make that different. The real question I have for you is, what kind of a father are you if your daughters want to be independent from their father? Why would they want to be? You know, you have the sodomites or the transgenders, and they say, hey, Jesus never preached against these things. Then you show them very plainly that Jesus takes them back to the beginning of creation, male and female. And he preaches God's perfect order to them. For society and marriage. You cannot have a society outside of this order. Do you understand that? You won't have one. This is the way that God made man to be. Right? On the left, this is the way God made woman to be. On the right, that's God's way. He made man to be a provider, a protector, a warrior. A defender. That's what he made man to be. Aren't those prairie dresses? I don't know. They might be, but I like them. I'd buy them for my daughters if I could find some. I'll have my daughters make them. I don't care. I like them. I think they look nice. But then again, I live on the prairie, so they'd be useful. See, this is what God made man to be, is to protect. Right? That's what he made him to be. He made him to be a warrior and a hunter and a warrior and someone to protect, right? To go out and gather the food and to do the things that were necessary. That's what he made him for, right? He didn't make him to be this, did he? He didn't make him to be an abomination. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garments, for all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. He didn't make him for that reason. Right? He didn't make him to look like that. That's what Satan does. That's what Satan's desire is for man, to pervert what man is, to destroy biblical manhood. Right? To make him look effeminate. To make him look like Baphomet. Right? To make him look like something that God never intended them to be. That's an attack on manhood. All out attack. Why? Because if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? For if the foundations be destroyed, right? The Bible says, what can the righteous do? You destroy manhood? You take away the masculinity from men? The leadership, the guidance, the responsibility from a man? And what do you have today? You have what I showed you in the Colosseum a few minutes ago. These games, the Colosseum, I'm not against having fun and playing some games once in a while. I'm not saying that. But the point is, when all of life is a game and there's no seriousness to it, that's what happened. They can't be serious. This is real. They did this to this boy. Right? That's what they did to this boy. They have Maybelline boys. I covered that. Cover boys. Let me see if I can find that. See. Oops, hang on. Here it is. Oh, that's an oldie. Look at that one, back in the day. Gendercide. Who remembers that one? Gendercide, the NWO neutering of manhood. Hollywood cover boys. This one was way back in 16. I covered it a long time ago, 9 years ago. Wow. I should have done a 10th anniversary of Hollywood Satanic Roots. I should have reproduced Hollywood Satanic Roots and did a 10-year anniversary. I don't know if we have time. We have so much work to do. Anyway. I've been banging this drum for a little while now. But I talked about that gender side. I talked about that 8 years ago. All the way back in the day there, huh? Wow, Carl, you're only 27? Is that really how old you are, is 27? So here's this gender side. Remember this guy? Remember that dude? See, this is what they're doing to manhood. This is their goal. That's what they're doing. That's Baphomet. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy biblical manhood. Right? Skinny jeans, Fruit Loops. This is a preacher in their skinny jeans running around. So what is it? It's the feminization of man. It's a destruction to destroy manhood. To destroy men. Well, overall, I'm going to show you, you know, part of the attack of how that is. But let me tell you something. God's people are guilty of destroying manhood. If they do not, they are following Satan's order when they don't lay down the distinction of the sexes. See, when you don't lay down the order of the sexes the way God intended it to be, when you blur the lines, when you have women leading men, you're destroying manhood. You know, we can't change the way the world does things, but we can change. We don't have to do it. I realize you got to go to the bank. You got to go to different things. You got to, and you're going to have people that are not going to follow God's order. But it shouldn't be that we don't. Right? There's an all-out assault. They hate the patriarchy. Right? They hate it. Why do they hate it so much? Because they're of their father, the devil. See, society must be transformed for Satan's kingdom to come in that full power to usher in the Antichrist kingdom. Must happen. So the only difference will be God's people if they make the distinction of male and female, if they keep their distinctions, if they teach their distinctions, and the blessedness of a woman, being a lady, and the blessedness of a man, even when the whole world looks at you like you're some kind of knuckle-dragging barbarian, even when that's the case, even when the world, and especially when the world wants to do that. All right, this, don't mansplain me. I was like, I told one lady the other day, man, I'm mansplaining you. That's what I'm doing. I'm mansplaining right now. I am. And this queer dude goes, ah, he just admitted he's mansplaining. I was like, yeah, I am. I'm mansplaining right now. I am. I was like, yeah, I'm mansplaining. You better believe I am. Got that right. They didn't like that. I was like, yeah, I am. I'm mansplaining. That's the only kind of splaining I know how to do. All right? It's the only kind of mansplaining I know how to do. Explaining. Mansplaining. I mean, I go ahead and tell them that. Yeah, you better believe I am. I'm like, yeah. Sure am. That's what Carl saw in his paper route. Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Baphomet. This is that hybrid spirit. It is that antichrist. It is that merging of the sexes together. And you and I, as God's people, we have got to be careful that we do not play into this. We don't send our children to their schools. We don't let them indoctrinate our children. We show our children and teach them what the Bible says about male and female. See, this Baphomet is man, woman, and beast. It's all of it. You see, the devil's the one that wants no distinctions between male and female. That's why you can have the hybrid transgender. Because God is a God of certainty. That's who God is. Seven times that word certainty is in the Bible. Seven times. Proverbs 22:21 says, that I might make thee know, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. God is a God of certainty. Not of confusion. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is a God of certainty. He is not the author of confusion. God is the author and finisher of our faith. He is not the author of confusion. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. That word author is three times. For God is not the author of confusion. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, God makes it simple. He does not confuse us. But he leaves things simple for us to understand. Merging the sexes is no distinction. It is an attack on the very foundations of God's creation. See, Satan, I mean, there are so many attacks. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, we have the foundation of creation. I talked about that many years ago. Let's see. Yeah, it won't be there, will it? Let's see. You know, I had a series, Satanic Roots of Evolution. Okay. Charles Darwin, the man, Masonic Order, the Luciferian Lunar Circle, Darwin's Gestapo, Thomas Huxley, Evolution and the Illuminati Royal Society, Sons of Evolution, Aldous Huxley, NWO, LSD, and Aleister Crowley. What a title. Darwin's Demonic Disciples, Ernest Haeckel, How We Got Hitler, Darwin's perfect soldier, Hitler. Evolution's evidence. No media. I think I changed that maybe. Evolution's missing link, still missing in 2018. Dinosaur fossil fossil finds that defy evolution. Pre-flood world technology that destroys evolution. Well, I hope you've heard this one before. This is a good one here. Good video here. Pre-flood world technology that destroys evolution. Man, I hope you watch that one. It's a good one. Five frauds of evolution. Lucy Piltdown, Haeckel's embryos. Okay. Anyway. So, good stuff there. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do, right? The Bible speaks of foundations, right? Here it is. This is the one I was looking for. In 2018, Genesis, War for Origins, eight foundations under attack. Anybody remember that one? Have you watched those? Those are 6 years old almost. From a series called Genesis, War for Origins. The second one, Refuting Evolutionist Attacks, Are Christians Against Science? And Evolution's Evidence, Darwin's Tree of Life, Haeckel's Embryos. Okay. That's those hybrids right there. So what has feminized the American male? What has neutered the American male? Castrated manhood. Made him like a fixed dog. God's order perverted. The foundations attacked. He made them male and female. He made women to be keepers at home. He made men to work by the sweat of their brow. He made women to nurture children and raise them and care for them. He made man to be the protector, provider, hunter, gatherer. So many homes, in so many professing Christian homes, destroyed. God made man to rule, and God made woman to follow. And when that order is perverted, chaos comes. We live in societal chaos today, everywhere around. I mean, I thank God for my home because it's not chaos. It's not a war zone. I'm a man and I understand what my responsibilities are. My wife is a lady and she understands. She is a woman and she understands what her responsibilities are. My daughters are learning what their responsibilities are. My sons are learning what their responsibilities are. But in the world, there is much tribulation. In the world, it is chaotic. In the world, there's a war zone going on. It's a battle. The battle of the ages. And it rages. The Bible says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Shalt thou return? That is God's design. That is God's way. All right, I'm putting my jacket on. Hang on. Must be because I'm losing weight. I'm getting cold. Okay. What does he say of the woman very plainly? I like this picture right here. Look at that. Look at that. Mama gathered around her babies, reading. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know why it's blasphemed? Because it's a perversion of God's order. You know, you and I, you and I have a short time on this earth. You have a short time, husband and wife, to fulfill the role that God has created you to fulfill. And then you're going home to be with the Lord. Do you realize you only have a short time to be obedient? To show your obedience to the Lord before you go home? Why do so many people want to waste? So many Christians, why are they wasting their lives in disobedience and rebellion to God? Torturing themselves. Their marriages are like torture. Their marriages are like a war zone. Their home is like a war zone. They have no peace at home. But they torture themselves with it. God made it very simple. And the only reason why male or female does not like this is because they are in rebellion to God. Either a man does not want to do what God has commanded him to do, or a woman does not want to do what she has been commanded to do by God. And that's the only reason why. Selfishness. Instead, we have forced amalgamation. We have literally forced women as a society into competing with men. We forced it. So this is the workforce today. I'm going to say this to you, and you won't like this, some of you. Man is degraded to go to work and have a woman boss him around. He is degraded by it. He is belittled by it. Because he was never supposed to have to go through that. God never wanted him to go through that. God never wanted men forced to deal with women in the workforce has nearly irreparable damages on manhood in America. Men live in self-denial when they play down the power of women. Sobbing women are known to have made men change hardline positions or pacify their women. I mean, ask yourself where this could play out very badly. How about in leadership issues? How about in issues of security and dangerous circumstances? Scientifically, they've proven a few things. A woman's presence makes men go dumb. Men literally become dumb after they interact with women they find attractive. In a study, men scored less on cognitive tests after meeting women. In a version of the test, the men weren't even looking at females. They were just told that females are going to be looking at them. Men become more selfless around women. Men get more selfless, and too kind when they're around women. They soften themselves. They have to, and become too kind when they're forced to be in situations like that. In essence, they lose their manhood and become soft fools. Samson did the same thing. He lost his ever-loving mind and gave into her tears. He lost his manhood. David was led by pure lust because he was not out warring, but was gawking at a woman. It's like a buck in the rut. They act like fools. They run like a lamb to the slaughter. They don't think straight about enemies that are around them. The desire for the female is masculine. But to lose all sense of understanding and follow base emotions is feminine. For men to be led by their emotions, they become feminine. Men do not think clearly working around women. They don't. In fact, pretty women make men impatient. Researchers have observed that simply looking at a good-looking woman decreases a man's patience and willpower. That's why he's not to be around them all the time. He's supposed to go home to his wife where he's to unwind and drop his guard and give himself over to his passions. Because God made man that way. When he's given over to them all the time, it is most unmanly. God made him to go home and to unwind around his wife, to drop his guard. Not to be around women constantly and have to deal with women. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Your eye will affect your heart. Your eye impacts you. Studies have been reported that men actually lose their vision. The study involved, see, this is why God said women were to be keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The study involved testing how likely participants were to discount the future after viewing pictures of attractive or unattractive members of the opposite sex. Discounting is choosing to receive a small sum of money tomorrow instead of a large one in the future. Did not David lose sight of the vision of being the shepherd and king of Israel when he was too close to a woman that was not his? Attractive women make men less happy about their relationships. How some men feel about their current relationships has a lot to do with whether or not you just saw or spent time with a good-looking woman that's not theirs. So in other words, basically, they go to work all day with women that are upward mobility women that are dressed seductively. And then they come home to their wife, who's taking care of children all day, who's raising their children, who's leading their home. Or maybe they're not. Maybe their wife is out working in the workforce, not there either. Next, the participants were asked to evaluate how they felt about their romantic relationships. While women weren't affected by being exposed to attractive men, men generally reported feeling less satisfied with their relationships after being exposed to attractive women. Men take undue risks to impress women. So in other words, basically, because of men, because the men are attracted completely to sight. Their attractions come from sight. So when they see a woman, that is seductively dressed, or one that is very attractive, that is around them all the time, it affects them. It distracts them. They have a hard time focusing and concentrating. Then men take undue risks to impress women, undue risks. Men become more talkative around women. Studies have shown that just the presence of females made men chatty and conversational in a gathering. The study showed that women tend to have more connection with the listener, while men tend to influence the listener and hence talk more. So in other words, the environment of work with women involves changes how a man would naturally act around other men. He caters the way he responds or reacts to things. See, so when you're in the workforce, men, a lot of times, they just get their work done and they're just doing whatever. When there's a woman around, it doesn't work that way. Men actually donate more money. A research published in British Journal of Psychology states that men tend to become more generous with donations around women. They also found that having an attractive woman in men's lives made them more contributing to social causes. So what is it doing? It's feminizing them. They're not thinking about what's right and wrong. They're not thinking about what the right decision is to make. They're just around women and they're trying to impress the women. So it imbalances the men and it feminizes them. Strong decisions based on logic and not emotions or passions are not made, or they'll be affected by a woman's presence. Remember, work was not a punishment. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Work was ordained before man, before man's fall. It was since the creation. But it was never supposed to involve the infusion of women there. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Where was she going to be? The center and focus of her life was going to be the home. The home. In sorrow shalt thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it. Shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Paradise lost. Paradise lost, right? This attack on biblical manhood It's an attack on the way that God designed things. Her desire would be to her husband, and he would rule over him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You see, you know why affairs happen at work? Because God made a woman to be submissive to a man. And a lot of times those affairs happen at work. It's because they may admire the man's leadership. They admire the man in some way, or they're using him to sleep to the top. But women were designed by God to be with a man, to be alongside a man. Their desire is to a man. That is the way God made them. That's the way God made them. That's why he said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's why we teach our daughters at a young age to be submissive to their fathers in a biblical way. Because their father is going to give them away someday to a God-fearing man. Not raising them in order to return them out to, or to turn them out to the world and make them go make a way in the world. No, there's a man that's supposed to take care of them. I'm the man that's supposed to take care of them right now. Someday, it'll be their husband that takes care of them. But for all their life, it is God's design that a man would take care of them. God made a woman not to be independent of the man. He made the woman to be dependent upon the man. That's the way he made them. So when they go to work, they develop relationships because they're not in the place that they should be. God never meant for them to be there. And half of the temptations that go on with a man, there would be no Me Too movement if women were home. You would cut down on about 90% of the sexual misconduct that goes on today and women being taken advantage of if women were not there in the workforce doing what God did not want them to do. Most men harm their marriages by not being the man that they're to be. Husbands, love your wives. By not acting out the headship as he's supposed to. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So Christ is the savior of the body. And man is the savior of his wife's body, not her soul that belongs to the Lord. He's the one that does that. But her body, he is the savior of. He is the one that is to protect her, to be the guardian over her, to guide her. And he's being taught that treating a woman like that is misogynist. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. She is the weaker vessel, and she is to be honored, cared for. That's what that word means. To esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation, a testimony of dignity. Dignity, exalted rank or place. Reverence. Privileges. Civilities paid. To do honors. In other words, he is to care for her. Look what it says here. The court of honor, court of chivalry, court of civil. To respect, to treat with deference and submission. That's the children of the father, right? In this case, honor is to take care of, right? In commerce, to care for. They're to honor the wife as one of the weaker vessels, being heirs together of the grace of life. that's what a man is supposed to do. He's to honor his wife as under the weaker vessel. Giving honor unto the wife as under the weaker vessel. So when you find men that open the door for women, men that carry things for women, men that do certain duties that we don't ask women to do because we do them. Right? Because we honor them as the weaker vessel. That's God's way. See, that's when a man cares for his wife, when a man cares for her needs, when a man leads and guides her, directs her, gives her teaching and understanding, teaches her where she's wrong, corrects her. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You see, when a wife is in submission to her husband, the husband doesn't feel like a castrated man. But when he has a raging Jezebel, that's a fire-breathing dragon, a loud and stubborn woman whose feet abide not in her home, right? When he has that type of a woman and she doesn't listen to what she says, she yells at him. She hollers at him. She talks down to him. It's feminizing and demoralizing to a man to be around a yelling, screaming, hollering woman. It weakens that man. When she tries to lord over him and boss over him and cut him down. The lack of respect for men that women have today. It can be very demoralizing. It can be very, it steals his masculinity. Bossy, loudmouth women. That's right, a brawling woman. But that's Satan's plan, isn't it? To butch up the women and effeminize the men. Right? Butch up the women, get them acting like men, running around. Acting like men. And then those men got to listen to those women all day long. It's just like what they're doing in the courtroom right now to Donald Trump. Now, you know that I understand the psyop with all of it. I'm not deceived by any of that. But let me tell you what they're doing. They've got this black woman from the South, Fanny. This black, loudmouth, stubborn black broad from the South, big mouth, nasty Sheila, big old broad, and she's in the courtroom you know, trying to stick it to the white man. Then you have this, in New York, you have this Letitia James lady, loudmouth black woman. And what's she going to do? She's going to tell that white man what to do. She's going to bring that white man down. Why are they doing that? They're doing it on purpose. Because they want to build up white rage. And they want to build up male rage. That's what they want to do. They want to build up male rage and make men mad. They want to make them angry. They want to feminize a man and have this woman telling them what to do. And some whore he either slept with or didn't sleep with. I don't know. I wasn't there. That got paid a bunch of money to shut her mouth and then opened her mouth. Why? Well, she's a loudmouth, stubborn whore. What'd you think she was going to do? Right? That's Satan's attack on men. That's a purposeful attack in public on men. To effeminize men, make them submit to a woman. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. All of it's being played out on purpose. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. It's the design. It's the way it is. Right? That's why I don't put up with it. When I'm out preaching, I let them have it. Them old big mouth women coming around me, acting like I'm going to be all soft and squishy with them. They're used to backing men down. I'm like, I don't care what you think, lady, woman. I don't care what you think, woman. Because you're some leather-tongued Jezebel, you think I'm going to be quiet? But that's what they want to do. They want to shut men up. So that's what all this psyop is that they're playing out with Trump and all. It's to build rage. It's to make men angry. That's why they put that fat black lesbian over there from Black Lives Matter in there. Over to that guy named Jacob, that mayor Jacob over there in Minneapolis. Right? And that fat black lesbian. Right? That's why they did that. Why? To make them look stupid. That's what the purpose was. To make them look dumb. They wanted to do that. I don't know if I got that. I can't find that. Let me see if I can find that clip. Yeah, is this it?
You know, we were found about some fat black lesbians. Wow. So, okay. So, first of all,
did you know that?
I'm a heterosexual.
Did you know it was found about some fat black lesbians?
Wow. So, okay. So, first of all,
did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult.
Well, they claim to be lesbians and they're fat and they're black. Well, I didn't do it. So, do you believe that black lives matter?
I do.
What does that mean?
Black Lives Matter means that black people and their full humanity, right, should not, their lives should not be harmed or stolen by state-sanctioned violence.
Who does it matter to?
Black lives should matter not only to us, but to everybody.
Not sure, but who does it matter to?
Everybody.
Like who, for example?
Everybody.
I wish I could find the one that I had, man. That was the best one. Where'd that one go? I can't find that one I used to have on there. Is that one it? I don't know where that clip is. It's not that one. Anyway, maybe Carl could find it again. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, so there you go, right? So you have the you have these fat black lesbians, right? But you have that. Why is that being played out in public? To build rage? That's the purpose. Because Satan has an all-out attack. All-out attack. On biblical manhood. And the Bible tells us, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Good question, isn't it? We got to make sure we don't, but we follow the Word of God.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. And then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by.
All right, everybody, God bless you. And you pray for us tomorrow. We'll be out preaching. That's 5 p.m. Central. We'll be preaching 5 p.m. Central time. We'll be preaching tomorrow night. You pray for us. And then Sunday morning, normal Sunday morning service. And then also Sunday afternoon, Baptist history. So we'll be talking about the Petrobrusians again. So look forward to that. And starting a new part of Proverbs this week, we're going to be talking about the talebearer. We're going to talk about the talebearer. So a few messages in Proverbs on the talebearer. This, a new character, the talebearer. So, and then we're going to talk about the tongue specifically. But we'll be a few weeks on the Talebearer. There's a lot to be said about the Talebearer, the Slander, and all those other groups. So people there. So lots to talk about there. All right, everybody, if you would, please pray for us. Pray for our ministry. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can go to oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. You can scroll down the page. PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Okay? And we have that. We have Venmo is pastorcooley@icloud.com. Apple Pay is pastorcooley@icloud.com. Cash App and all that good stuff. If you have any questions, you can email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com or salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Jody Hammond, off subject. I have a reading. I was reading Acts this morning. Was the couple that lied to the Holy Ghost saved? I believe so. I believe that was the one of the first times you see church discipline. And the apostles were still alive on this earth. And yeah, I believe they died right away. So, yeah, I absolutely believe that they were disciplined for what they did. Personally, that's what I believe. Because that's an act of discipline. The Bible says there is a sin unto death that a Christian can commit, that God will kill him for it. Right? And they lied to the Lord. And they did it in front of everybody. And remember, the apostles are alive on the earth at the time. They have the signs and wonders that are given to them to the Jews. And the Jews are present there. They just come into the new body. And the church is formed there in Jerusalem. And these people sin before all. And I believe God killed them for it. Different than Simon the Sorcerer's. Simon the Sorcerer, he didn't get killed. Why? He wasn't God's child. Simon the Sorcerer wasn't even saved. He wasn't a Christian. But those two, they died. No, the gall of bitterness was Simon the Sorcerer. The gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That was Simon the Sorcerer. That was not them. He said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" So that's the difference in the two texts. Jody said, "It broke me down this morning. I feel like I'm not worthy." Well, you're not. Neither, none of us are. It's Christ that is worthy. Our worth comes from Christ. Amen. That's where it comes from. So we have to always remember that. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow night preaching.